Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Thank you for this afternoon again. We bless you for your work that you have begun in our lives. And we are looking unto you that you perfect that work in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for bringing us back to this class. We are trusting you that you will push us forward and give us a very firm grip on the things that your Spirit is speaking to us about. Lord, we thank you that you will help us. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
God, how can we move on from the understanding of what the Lord Jesus has already accomplished in our heart? How do we effect it?
Alright.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 32. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? Is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When Jesus Christ stepped into our lives, he stepped in order to do a thorough and a complete work. There are certain things now that God will now want us to do as a result of what God has already done in your life. Certain things that God wants you now to do because of the way he has brought you to himself, particularly at this point. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at that together. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Let's quickly look at the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 3. I want us to read from verse 6. Maybe from verse 5. Let's read from verse 5. And we will read down until verse 11. From verse 5 to 11. He says, then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him. And they were baptized by him, in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?
therefore bear fruit worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now let's stop there. May the Lord make his word to be read in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, these people that we are reading about who came for the baptism of John, we were told that they came confessing their sins. Is that not so? In verse 6, that they came confessing their sins. Now, let's say that, what does it mean to confess one sin? Of course, the Bible says, whosoever covereth his sin, what did the Bible say about him? That he will not prosper. But whosoever confesses and forsake shall do what? Obtain mercy. Now, the first way to deal with sin and get rid of it completely in one's life is to do what? Is to confess it. Now, when people take steps to give their life to Christ or to rededicate their life to Christ, that is a good step. But there is something if we don't do that always brings the devil back into your life. When even though you are willing to repent, I mean to give your life to Christ, but you are not ready to confess what, are you hearing me? What you have been doing. Now when there's no confession of what a man has been doing, so the first thing we are dealing with now is how do we handle our confession in order for it not to bounce back to us again after God has already decided to accept us and to forgive us. Now, you will notice that the Bible says that whosoever covereth a sin. So the first thing about sin is that if you cover it, no matter how you cry and pray, you will not make progress. Do you know why? Sin only grows under a cover. Are you the enemy? Now, if, for example, you know that there is a sinful habit that is really troubling you, several times you may be praying. You may even come to a meeting and say, oh God, I want to change, I want to change. But you've not particularly pointed at the issue that is always making you to go back into sin. You are covering it. Sometimes we cover sin even with prayer. Sometimes people cover sin even with activity. But until you confess a sin, you have not yet you've not yet uprooted the power of that sin from your life. The reason is because sin enjoys secretness or secrecy in order to grow. Hey, you are not understanding me now.
Yes.
Are you understanding me now?
Yes.
Now, so the first thing that breaks the power of sin from your life is to expose it. What did I say? Expose it by confessing it out. When you are ready to expose a sinful habit, what you are doing to that sinful habit is that you are giving it a final blow that will not give it chance to grow again. But do you know, for example, if, for example, you have problems of immorality, you can be crying and say, God, help me, help me, help me, help me. But you have never, never confessed that issue of immorality to the point of pinpointing to what extent have you been going with it. To the extent of identifying, if, for example, there is someone you are involved directly with, you, in order to be completely free, you've got to handle that now, you know, direct. I say now that Jesus has changed that old man from my life, I will not cover any of his work anymore. Are you hearing me now? Because when Jesus comes into your life, he removes that old life. He has taken away that stony heart. He has put in you the heart of flesh now. And all things have become new. But if you now cover some of the work of the old life, either because you don't want people to know about it, do you know what you are doing? It's like you are not sinning. You are not sinning. One day like this, it will break out again. He said, but I have repented of this thing. The reason is because you never did what? Expose it. So, when they came confessing, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, if you look at 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, what did it say? Can somebody read 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 for us? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Who reads that? Yes?
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our
sins. Now, do you notice that he said if we confess what? Our sins. Now, there's difference from saying, oh Lord, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, oh Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Is that confession? Is that confession? No, that's not confession. What did he say? If we confess what? Our sins. When we talk about our sins, that means definite, Abby. That means something identifiable. Something that actually happened. Something that you know it is the thing that you have been doing, and the Holy Spirit is saying, this is wrong. You know, sometimes we go for church and people say, oh Lord, we have left undone what we ought to do, and we have done what we ought not to do. Have mercy on us. We are miserable offenders. Is that confession? Is that confession? No, that's not confession. Because you are not pinpointing where the issues are. Is that all right now? Now, in order to break the power of sin once and for all, you must pinpoint it. You must do what? Pinpoint it. You must not cover it. If it involves someone, and in order to break from it, you must pinpoint that and pinpoint the person. You must mention that person's name even before God. Do you understand me now? You are saying, oh God, this thing that I've been doing with the means so and so, I know that this thing is wrong. And I'm confessing that in your presence. I am opening it up to you. Now the Bible says, when we confess our sins like that, what does God do now? God is faithful and just to do what? To forgive us, and then to do what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the fourth issue about confession in order to break the power of sin. But if, though you think you want to repent, but you are covering something, it will grow again. And that is the reason why sometimes somebody has given his life to Christ almost 5, 6, 7 times, and the same issues are coming up again. Do you know why? He has covered it. So in order for our progress to be very straightforward, I would like you, as we will pray, to really deal with that. It's part of our past life and we need to pack it out. Amen. We don't need to keep it anywhere because it's no more in our life. We are no longer going to do it. And we should not be ashamed of what God has forgiven us about. You are not getting me now. Something that God has said, I will not remember again. What did you also do? You should also not you should forget about it. But the way to forget about it is not to cover it. Expose it so that it can leave you. Do you know that if, for example, you are the one who impregnated a girl? People ask, I don't know about it though, I'm not the one who, and actually nobody knew. But now you gave your life to Christ. And you said, look, now I'm a Christian. But you did not confess that issue and say, God, concerning the Syria that was pregnant, that I said I was not the one, I am the one. And I know that I told a lie. I am the one. I am sorry about it. Now, when you have said that, you know you are dealing with one particular issue, isn't it? God will cleanse that. But beyond that now, you will now, in order to be free, in order to kill sin completely, if you see the Sicilian or those you told a lie, what are we going to do? We are going to now confess. Now you see, once you confess that, the issue automatically is behind you. Whatever problem is behind it, God now will help you to resolve it. But as long as you keep it, you know that any time you now see Cecilia or you remember Cecilia, something will come back to your conscience. And you know what he said? Are you really serious? Do you think God has forgiven you? And when that comes, it comes as if the snake has come to bite you again. And before you know it, all your enjoyment, all your faith, all your prayer life, what will happen to everything that time? Everything will just. And the devil will now come back to you and say, actually, you have not been saved. Why are you punishing yourself? And before you know it, the old things that you even saw are coming back. I don't know whether you are following what I'm dealing with now. So, in order to be victorious, so that this thing that God did for us this week, we will not be going up and down with it again. We must look into those sections of our life that we believe we need to be able to discuss with you about. We need to open it up and say, God, let this thing finish now. You know there are times that maybe somebody, a man, has cheated on his wife. But now you have repented. You have come to Jesus. And Jesus has removed that old heart. That old heart is removed. You are now with a new heart. And in your heart, you are not desiring to go back into sin anymore. Hallelujah. But you've not yet opened that issue so that it can be washed away. It can be taken out. It can be passed aside. So that God can give you a new beginning entirely. Now, maybe you are afraid that if I should confess now, my wife will not trust me again. And so you kept it. Even though you are going for fellowship and all of that, do you know what will happen? Every time you see your wife, every time you remember that thing, something hits your heart straight. Am I correct? And it reminds you that you are still a liar. So, once anybody stands up to preach again and he wants to give altar call, you know what will happen? Your mind will go back to that problem. And you will like to come and respond. But the issue is that if you have confessed it, God will have cleansed it, washed it away, and released you completely. And even if your wife was annoyed for a while, when she now knows that there is a genuineness of conversion that has taken place in your life, she will take it as a new beginning. Oh, you are not understanding me again. Are you following me at all? Alright. So, the first thing that these people came confessing their sin. They were saying, I did it, I don't want to do it again. It's very important. Sometimes, because when you first made a decision, this thing did not come through. You didn't, nobody has either explained to you, or you didn't know you should have done that. It lingered. So it started growing again. It started coming back to you again. Now, Brother John was telling them, he said, look, therefore, look at verse 8. Now it says, therefore, bear fruit that is what? Worthy of repentance. Is there any other version? Chapter 3, verse 8.
By the way you do, that you have really turned from your sin and turned to God.
Who? By the way you live, that you have really, really turned from your sin, and you have turned unto God. So the Bible says, bringing forth the fruit of what? Repentance. Now what will be fruit of repentance? Fruit of repentance will be a definite act that immediately establishes that the things you used to do, you do them no more. And if anybody says, why are you not doing this thing again? He says, the old man that used to do that, what has happened to him? He passed away. There's a new man here completely. Now, what will be the fruit of repentance? The fruit of repentance, the first fruit that God is expecting, is that change of life that makes you walk away. Are you getting me? From the things you used to do before. Now, I want you to get that there's a difference in the thing I'm saying, and I want you to hear me. Now, you are not trying to walk away from what you are doing before in order to be saved. So, you are not getting that. You get that now. Now, before, what you used to try to do is that you are thinking that if I can stop doing what I was doing bad before, then I will be saved. Nobody can be saved by trying to save himself. Are you getting me now? Nobody can change because he is trying to change. But something happened. What happened? There was God's power that did what? That brought a change. He said, a new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away from you what? The heart of stone. And I will put in you the heart of flesh. Now, because God has done that, God has already done that. He has removed that old heart. Is that all right? Now, the reason why you are going to now stop doing it, what used to do before, it's not because you want God to save you. It is because God has already done what? Has already saved you, has already delivered you, has already removed the old man from inside you. That's why you don't do what you used to do before. Hey, that's all right now. I have come to the point now of the fruit of repentance. And what am I dealing with the fruit of repentance? That is the result of what has already happened in your life. Because the man that used to fornicate inside of me has passed away. Are you understanding that now? When the girls that I used to fornicate with, when they come around, what do I do? What do I do? I'm not hearing you. I said the man that your boyfriend has passed away is a new man here now. So why am I no longer fornicating with them? Right? Because the old man, God has taken him away. And there's a new man here. And the new man inside me here is not a fornicator. Do you understand that now? Now, when I am able now to say to those girls that they are the things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. There is a great change since I'm born again. Now, when I do that now, sorry, the things I used to do, I don't do them again. What am I bringing forth now? Those now are the fruit of what? Of repentance. Now, that you repented in the last 2 days, until you bring forth the fruit of it, it doesn't show. Does it show? Now, but how do we bring forth the fruit? Can we bring a fruit where there is no plant? Aha! So that's why I'm saying that the fruit of repentance is not what you are doing in order to change. It's what you are doing because you have already changed. Do you understand that now? Now, when somebody comes to you and they say, can we go out and drink? What do you say to him? You say, sorry, the man that used to drink inside of me, what has happened to that man? Has passed away. The man here now, he doesn't drink anymore. He's a new man entirely. What are you bringing for now? That is the truth of the repentance that has already taken place. Do you get me now? So, repentance, it's something that has happened inside, and the change that God Himself brought to pass in your life as soon as you gave your life to Him, as soon as you surrendered Him, that has taken place. But you now need to follow up what God has done inside of you with what? With the practical fruit of repentance. Now, can I give you the illustration? Now, there was a woman that you used to quarrel with because the way she always annoys you, and you decided that you will not even greet her at all. But the woman that was offended inside of you, what happened to that one? That's a fact. And a new heart has come in here. And this new heart has no quarrel with that other woman. Is that alright? Yes. Now, how do you now prove that there is a new woman inside of you now? If they now go back to that woman and greet her and say, okay, madam, how are you? Fine, you see, the woman that used to quarrel with you actually passed away. There's a new woman here. And forget about that one. Let's start a new thing entirely. What are you bringing for now? The fruit of repentance. But, for example, let's say you say you have repented, and that woman you used to quarrel with, you see so, and you still quarrel. And then she saw you carrying Bible up and down, say, yes, I thank God, I'm a Christian. But you still quarrel. Is there is the new evidence of repentance?
No.
Mm-hmm. I don't know whether you understand that now.
Yes.
So what God has done is that a change has taken place. And we say all these new things, they came from where? From God. God has done something in your life and you must not forget it. You should keep knowing that, yes, thank you, Jesus, for what you did this last time. Thank you, Jesus, for the way you affected my life this last time. I am a new person now. I'm a new Christian and I'm not going back to my home. But then God now says, we should follow it up by bringing forth what? Fruit of repentance. Now, let me put it like this. Maybe before, what was the problem in your life that Jesus uprooted was addiction. It could be addiction to television, to some certain films, or addiction to some bad books. Every time you see those books, you're always wanting to go and read it. But the man that was addicted, what has happened to that one now? Has passed away, because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, all things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Okay, that has taken place. So God now says, since God has removed what used to be the old life in you, bring forth the evidence of repentance. How will you bring it forth? When they want to switch on the television to that kind of channel, what do you now say? I say, sorry. It's no longer I that is here now. The boy that likes God has passed away. And if you are not in position to control the television, because sometimes you are not the owner, isn't it? So what do you do? You move. You move. And they say, where are you going? He said, because I have repented. What are you bringing for now? The root of repentance. But supposing when they were switching on that film, yeah, you stay there and you say, well, and you finish watching it. Even though God did something in your life, because you now deserve it for the fruit of repentance. Are you getting me? Before you go, the devil will do what? Will jump on your neck again. And then you want to come back. Do you get what I'm dealing with now? So, God now says, since God has done a work like this in your life, the first thing we should be looking at now is the genuine fruit of repentance. Now, repentance is not a matter of crime. Repentance is an action. Is that all right? Repentance is not even a matter of praying. What did I say repentance is? It's an action. When somebody is going like this before, and then he turns and he's going now like this, that's when we say he has turned. Abi, he has repented. That is action. So God now wants us right from today to go and bring forth practical actions that will prove what God has already done where in your life. Praise the Lord. Now, when I preached somewhere, I think there was a copper. I think we were coppers together. And we were always marching every morning like this. And so one of those days, there was this lady that she's in the club of lazy coppers like me. You know what we call lazy coppers? Those of us that cannot climb the mountain in those days. So once they are jogging and they are saying, hey, to be, then those of us that are lazy coppers, we will drop and then we'll be clapping for them. You know, that kind of thing. Now, I normally do that because I wanted to win souls. So when I see some lazy coppers who are just, so I will just join them and then we'll be talking. So I joined them one of this morning and we started talking. And so this girl gave her life to Christ. She said she's ready to give her life to Christ. I said, okay, we pray together. And I assure her that her life has changed as the word of God taught us. And sincerely speaking, her life changed. Up to today, she is a very good Christian. Praise the Lord. But on that day, and I told her, I said, can you tell me, what do you think has been the problem of your life? She told me several things. Then she said, and then there was this boyfriend that she has been keeping for the past 4 years. And that they have been thinking they will marry themselves. And I said, boyfriend? She said, yes. I said, okay. I said, but did you know that even not being Christ, the new Christian? She said, yes. And that whole thing have passed away? She said, yes. I said, so concerning that relationship with that boy, is it a new thing? No, she said, it's an old thing. I said, so what has happened to that relationship now? That's true. It means I won't marry that boy again. You know, she was the one who suddenly discovered it. I said, yes, because the girl, the boy wanted to marry. What has happened to that girl? They passed away. The relationship has finished. I said, okay, she will pray about it. I said, no, it's not a matter of faith. It's a matter of the fact. That's the fact. So what would you do? You are going to pick your pen this afternoon and write the book and say obituary notice. I like to inform you that there was an accident when I had an head-on collision with the gospel, and your girlfriend actually died, passed away, and that ever since I have become a new creation and I am married to Jesus now. So our relationship hereby stands dissolved and cancelled. She said, she will not write that letter now. But we should wait until when she finished the NYC camp, and then when she knows her posting, she will write the letter there. If you don't, it will seem as if something has not changed. But one day, she took courage and wrote a letter. And went and posted it. When she got the letter posted, she got victory, number one. Are you getting me? And she said, no, it's when he comes, I will talk to him. I said, do you know the problem? By the time he comes, and you are looking at his face, and you see the way he looks at you, what will happen? Your heart will melt. You won't be able to say it again. Put it in writing so that at least when he's coming, he has a letter. And it will be difficult for you to deny your letter or your writing. So when she wrote and posted it, the boy was in me. You know, after 2 weeks, we saw that boy. The boy came all the way to our depot and said,
I got your letter. Is this, are you the one who wrote this? Or somebody wrote it for you? She said, yes, I wrote it. Were you dreaming when you wrote this letter? Because I said, I cannot believe it. She said, actually, I was not dreaming. I was very alive when I wrote it. And I wrote exactly what I needed to tell you because of what has happened. So actually this letter, the person to be discussing it with has actually passed. It was a serious matter that day. And fortunately, I was visiting a depot for the weekend to preach. So she quickly laughed. Say, uncle? I said, yes. He said, what you told me has happened. The boy has arrived. And the boy is saying, so he has agreed with the letter. But she should give her a farewell time. And you see the boy. The boy said, at least I know that it is finished. But I traveled away from Benin to this place. At least one night, this last night, is a farewell time. The girl said, farewell with who? Farewell with who? There's no farewell between me and you because we have never even met. This is a brand new person entirely. The one that you will be there away with, I told you died. It was interesting. The boy broke down. I had to come in and call the boy aside. I said, sorry, I think she has told you the truth. The boy said, is that what you will also say? I said, well, so what do you want us to say? The girl that you used to know has passed away. There's a new one here. You also, you need to repent. Then the boy said, if we repent, if we just repent after tonight, that if the girl should just agree with him, he will just repent after. He said, no. Even if you will repent, the one, it will have to be a different life entirely. He went back, frustrated. What was that sister bringing for? Is the fruit of repentance. So what thing when that boy comes, she cooks for her, I mean for him, and she sleeps with him for that night and say, Lord, at least this is the last time. After tonight, Lord, I will repent properly and I will not do it again in the name of Jesus. Now, what do you say about that? It will never work. She will be back again in the pit of hell. Am I right? Okay. Now, your repentance, if you don't bring out the evidence, and you will have practical time to bring out your fruit of repentance. Praise the Lord. There will be practical opportunities. And in fact, you know what I want to tell you now? As from today, you need to look for that practical action that will establish that you have repented. You need to look for it. You don't need to wait until it comes. Do you understand? Now, I remember Daniel. Daniel, he was drunk when he came to my house. In fact, he was from a beer parlor. And my own house was somewhere like this. And you know, he just came out of the beer parlor drunk. And then he wanted to go and urinate. So he forgot where they are urinating the bathroom. And then he was entering straight to my bedroom to go and urinate. It's a very terrible thing. Have you ever seen drunk as well? And he was just in every day, where is the toilet? This is my uncle's house. So we went and said, no, this is not your uncle's house. And then she was going to my room. And so we arrested him and took him to the toilet. But then, I wanted to send him out. He said, no, I brought him to your church. He sent him out. I brought him here. Oh, but so he came and sat down. So we started talking. When I talked small, he said, he's going. But I said, well, you can go. When you get to the place, but how can I go away from my girl? Then you will sit down. Now, and I was preaching, suddenly, the Lord came down. And God changed his life that moment. So when his life changed, we read the same passage, because that's what God does. A new heart like him. So as we read it, suddenly the old heart of stone was taken away. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And a new heart of the flesh was coming. So he got, and he was about to go when we finished praying. Not knowing that there was a packet of 555 cigarettes in his front pocket. And he had just donated, get some money to buy a carton of beer for those people they were drinking with, and he needed to collect it before he came out. And then he had already deposited some money for a harlot girl for that night. Are you getting me now? Now I'm just telling you something that happened. So he came out, then he brought out the packet of 555 pesos. So, sir, what do I do with this now? Because now I'm a new creation. It was very dramatic. So he gave me the thing. So we destroyed it there and then. What is he bringing for now? That is fruit of repentance. We destroyed it. Then he said, what do I do? I said, go back to the dear father and collect your change. He said, when he got to the dear father, what occurred to him was so strange. He saw that, he said, is this where I have been eating and sleeping? It was smelling terribly to him.